your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? What's up? What's up? What's happening? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this April 1st. That's right, like Bone Thugs and Harmonies would say. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month. Yeah, man. Another month is upon us here on the Locked On Raiders podcast, and that means that we are just that much closer to the start of the NFL draft. April 23rd through 25th is when the draft is going to be. And now, as of today, we're officially 22 days away from the first pick. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock, but just excited about the fact that the draft is getting closer and closer and closer. So, yeah, man, 2020 has been a weird, strange year already. Some would say a bad year. Matter of fact, I think I'd say a bad year for the most part. But either way, we're trucking through it. And today is the start of basically the first, quarter? Basically, we'll say that we're through a quarter of the year already after this month. So, yeah, man, April 1st is already here. Got a lot for you on today's show, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Segment number three. Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, your calls, your text, 707-654-4693. And I have about three tweets, three good messages by way of Twitter, direct message, that I got to get in as well. So your text, your calls, and your direct messages are all coming up in segment number three. Again, the number 707-654-4693. And if you tweet at me, it's at your boy Q254. You can send me a message. I'll definitely hit you back. Segment number two, I'm going to talk about, well, I got a bunch of things I want to talk about in segment number two, and I say a bunch and I only mean like three, but still, either way, I'm going to talk about the Locked On NFL draft that I touched on a little bit on Tuesday. I got to put my pick in, so I'll tell you who I picked, and also I'll tell you the picks that were rolling in before mine, and even if there's a couple after mine, I'll let you know exactly who those are and just tell you how that's going so far, but I'll just touch on that really, really briefly. I also have an audio clip of Colin Cowherd. He was doing his show and he was talking about Justin Herbert, and we all know because it was put out there on Monday that Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon, actually had a FaceTime interview with John Gruden and Mike Mayock, the Raiders front office. I didn't think it was a big deal. Still don't think it's a big deal, but he had a comment. He had some thoughts on Justin Herbert and the Raiders, so I'm going to let you hear that. I'm going to speak on that, and then Jalen Hurts, my guy out of Oklahoma, he was actually on the Rich Eisen show, and Rich had a couple-minute conversation with him. It was probably about 5 to 10 minutes, but I just got a couple minutes of it that I peeled off of it. I want you to hear it just because, again, I really respect Jalen Hurts, and I just think that what you hear from him is what you're going to get, and I just really think that some team is going to get a special, special dude. He's going to work his way to get there, but he's going to be a special dude. So I'm going to let you hear what he has to say on the Rich Eisen show from Tuesday, and I'm going to speak on that as well. So that's all going to happen in segment number two. So you won't get any strip club commercials today. Hopefully you enjoyed that one from yesterday. But yeah, you're not going to get any of those today because I got a lot to get to. And then, of course, the NFL news and notes of the day. Again, NFL news and notes, Raiders news and notes, stuff that's happening in the league as far as players being released, all kind of stuff going on around the league. And so, yeah, I'm going to get to that right now here in segment number one. The first piece of news that I want to get to has to do with the NFL draft and the fact that we all know it's not going to happen this year in Vegas. It should be happening at the tail end of this month, but it's not going to happen. There is a chance. NFL Vice President Peter O'Reilly said on Tuesday during a league conference call that the league is actually considering holding the 2022 draft in Las Vegas. Not the 2021, but the 2022 draft. And obviously it was supposed to happen this year in Vegas, but because of the coronavirus pandemic, not going to happen. What he said, what Peter said was, we're in Cleveland next year in 2021 and in Kansas City for 2023. So 2022 is an option for Vegas. We need some time to work through that with Vegas, with the Raiders, and with the LVCVA out there. But that is something that we are considering for sure. He also said, we want to thank our tremendous partners in Vegas, the state of Nevada, the Las Vegas Raiders, and all of our partners and fans who have been part of an amazing public draft in Las Vegas. As we have said previously, we are focused with them now on identifying a future draft to do fully and properly in Las Vegas. And then he also mentioned Green Bay as a possibility as a host city in 2022. And of course, it makes all the sense in the world for them to do it in 2022. It's really a shame that they have to wait that long. I mean, it really is. It's really disappointing. I'm not just saying that from a standpoint of a guy who wants to go cover it and be there and be in Vegas and think that it's awesome, but it's just a shame that by no fault of theirs, it gets canceled and they're not able to, you know, have it this year. And now they're not going to be able to do it in 2021 because they're already committed to Cleveland. So 2022 looks like it could be the earliest. And if it doesn't do it then, they're already going to be in Kansas City in 2023. So then what? You know, and I just think that Las Vegas would have been a heck of a location. It would have been a heck of a city to have it in. They had it in Nashville, and it went off great. You know, over 600,000 over the three-day weekend. And I think that, you know, over the course of the 3 days in Vegas, it probably would have been over 700,000 people that visited and were around the draft. And unfortunately for the city, who really needs as many people there as possible now because of what's going on, it's like a ghost town. It really would have benefited from it. But, of course, it can't go on anyway this month because there's no end in sight right now. I mean, there's no realistic end in sight with this coronavirus, so nobody really knows how all this is going to shake out. So yeah, not going to happen, but looks like it could possibly happen in 2022, so I'd pretty much bank on it happening. It only makes all the sense in the world. With that being said, I get to my second point or my second piece of news and notes for today, and that's the fact that the NFL is actually planning on having a full season. They have a date for the schedule release. That date, matter of fact, is supposed to be May 9th. It was supposed to be at the end of April, but now it's going to be about May 9th. It won't be any later than May 9th. It might be a day or two ahead of time, but it won't be any later than May 9th. That's according to Jeff Pasch. He's the executive vice president and general counsel for the NFL. He said, all of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through a full 16 regular game season and a full set of playoffs. That's our focus. There's still a lot of things that could happen between now and then, but the NFL is planning on going full steam ahead. They're absolutely operating like nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to push back their season at all. Everything is expected to go full board. So again, the schedule release is going to come out May 9th. It's supposed to include the international games, according to Sports Illustrated, and everything. I mean, the full shebang is going to come out on May 9th. And so, of course, when that does happen, we'll be on the podcast talking about the schedule, talking about how many games, how many wins and losses you think that the team is going to have. I mean, that's what we as NFL fans love to do, right? Go through the schedule as soon as it hits paper, before the paper's even, or the ink on the paper's even dry, go through it and say, okay, that's a win, that's a win. Okay, that's a loss. All right, there's, you know, and try to come up with exactly what we think the Raiders' record's going to be. I remember last year when the schedule came out, I said they could be anywhere from 4-12 to 8-8. And I'm glad that they weren't close to 4-12, but they were closer to that 8-8. They were 7-9. So, you know, and I know that's kind of a large range, but again, it was all about getting on win streaks. It was all about the way that they started. And, you know, they had a nice little win streak going, but then they also had a nice little losing streak going. And so that's how they ended up at 7-9. But yeah, it's always fun to kind of go through the schedule, check it out, and see where we think the wins and the losses come from. So you could kind of put that on your NFL calendar if you like to. Around May 9th is when that schedule should drop. I also found it very interesting that he made sure and emphasized playing in front of fans in our regular stadium. So again, going back to the point where they feel like that their season is not going to be affected one iota, as my grandmother used to say, by this coronavirus, this pandemic that's going on right now. They feel like that they're going to be able to get by scot-free without having any kind of interruption, any kind of hiccup, any kind of issues by making a statement like that in front of our fans and also in our regular stadiums. I had someone tweet me on Tuesday and say, I don't think there's going to be a 2020 NFL season at all. Well, That's not from the NFL. The NFL believes that they're going to have everything, and it's going to be smooth and running just like it always has. Now, I'm not optimistic that it's going to run smooth and not have any kind of hiccups, because we're already starting to see hiccups anyway, starting to experience some hiccups, but they're thinking that they're going to get it, and it's going to be all good. So we'll have to see, wait and see. And the good thing for them is that the season isn't for quite a while, but still, man, they'll come up on you, creep up on you quicker than you even know. So on to my next piece of news, and this is something that shouldn't come as a surprise, but the NFL voted to expand the playoffs, and that went through. So now it's going to go from 12 to 14 games. So I only bring this up because I've been pounding the table saying that the Raiders should make the playoffs. They should expect to make the playoffs in 2020. There's going to be 14 teams in the playoffs in 2020. I expect the Raiders to be one of them. I really do. And again, this should just kind of solidify the fact that they're going to make the playoffs just because there's going to be two more teams. I realize that's only one more team per conference. But again, going into third year of John Gruden, expectations should be the playoffs. Now, anything could happen. Injuries could happen. You have to go get it on the field. You got to go win it on the field. You can't just talk about it because it's year three of John Gruden. But my expectation and your expectations as a fan should be the playoffs in 2020. And because of this vote that took place on Tuesday and the new CBA, there's going to be 14 teams in the playoffs instead of 12. And the last time they expanded the playoffs was for the 1990 season. It increased from 10 to 12. And since 1990, at least four new teams have qualified for the playoffs that missed the postseason the year before. That's a streak of 30 consecutive seasons. So you might as well go ahead and do one more season and make it 31 and let the Raiders be that team that missed the playoffs in 2019. Go on and make the playoffs in 2020. So that's a whole lot of housekeeping I had there in segment number one. But before I get out of segment number one and jump into segment number two, where I talk about some quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, and a little bit more, I did want to mention a guy who got released on Tuesday, and that's Dre Kirkpatrick. He was released by the Bengals on Tuesday. He was a first-round pick in 2012, and really the real reason I bring him up is because he is the Raiders' first-round draft pick in 2012. And some people might be scratching their head and say, what do you mean by that, Q? Well, that year, that 2011 season was the year that Jason Campbell was the starting quarterback for the Raiders, and they had a really good team under Hugh Jackson. They were doing pretty good, had a bunch of misfits. You know, they had Jacoby Ford, Darren McFadden. He was a good running back for the team. He was playing well at that time. They had Denarius Moore. They had DHB. I mean, there was just a bunch of guys that really weren't the best in the league, but they were just guys that knew their role, and Hugh Jackson was getting a lot out of them. And then Jason Campbell, who was a starting quarterback again, he goes down with a broken collarbone, and then Hugh Jackson decides he's going to go make a trade, give up a first round draft pick to the Cincinnati Bengals for Carson Palmer, who was at home sitting on his couch doing nothing. He wasn't playing for the team. They already had Andy Dalton. They had replaced one redhead with the other redhead, and he was sitting at home. And so Hugh Jackson decides, I'm going to go ahead and give up the first round draft pick for this guy, even though he's sitting at home doing nothing. You probably could have offered them a third round pick and said, hey, at least I'm giving you something for him. And instead, he gives up a first-round draft pick. Of course they take it. And, well, the Raiders missed the playoffs. And, well, we all know how Carson Palmer's career ended with the Raiders. And I'm not a big fan of him, period. He did well in Arizona, but just not a big fan of Carson Palmer, period. Just especially the way he quit on the Bengals. But either way, it really doesn't matter. The Raiders missed the playoffs. Hugh Jackson ends up getting fired. Reggie McKenzie comes in. The rest is history. We're here where we are now in 2020. Either way, the first-round pick that the Bengals used from the Raiders was for defensive back Dre Kirkpatrick. So that's why, and that's how I bring it all full circle. That's how I bring it all the way back to the Raiders. Over his career, he's had 65 passes defense, 10 interceptions with 302 tackles. I'm just going to say and throw it out there, the Raiders could have probably used 65 passes defense, 10 interceptions, and 302 tackles since 2012. I'm just going to throw it out there. He only played in six games in 2019 before he hit injury reserve. He had a knee injury, and he was going to have a pretty big contract. They're going to save $8.29 million with his release, and $2.8 million will go to dead money per over the cap. He's not big at stopping the run, but he's a solid cover corner. He's going to get some interest on the open market. I don't know if the Raiders are even going to have any kind of interest. I know that Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, knows him very, very well. But I think now, because of the addition of Eli Apple, who is younger, I think that they're kind of not out of the market for a corner, but they're probably out of the market for a veteran corner, even though I would have no problem if they gave Dre Kirkpatrick a lower level contract. And, you know, he signed on with the Raiders, if nothing else, to compete during training camp. But yeah, he's 30 years old. So remember that. I mean, he's not a young pup, but he was released on Tuesday by the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, coming up in segment number two, talking about the Locked On Podcast NFL Draft 2020. Going to tell you about my pick, tell you how that draft is going. Also want to let you hear from Colin Cowherd, how he was talking about Justin Herbert, John Gruden, and the Raiders. And then also Jalen Hurts. He was on the Rich Eisen Show. I want you to hear what he had to say. I want to talk about that. That's all coming up. That's a lot of stuff. We're locked and loaded on today's show. That's coming up in the next episode here on the Locked On Raiders Podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about homie. And I'm not talking about my homie. I'm not talking about Lil Homie, which you probably don't even know. Lil Homie's my turtle at the house. He's dope. Anyway, I'm not talking about Lil Homie. I'm talking about Homie. And if you're riding around Vegas, I talked about billboards. Well, Homie's got a bunch of billboards all around town in Vegas. They're real bright. You can't miss them. And it is all about homes. Matter of fact, let me just cut to the chase. Right now, my friends at Homie, they're stepping up. They're offering a special promo to all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. You'll get $250 off your listing fee if you just text Raiders to 88588. That's $250 off your listing fee. Text Raiders to 88588. Now that I got your attention, let me get back to what Homie actually does. If you check out homie.com, which is their website, you can see all the great things that they do and help you do and how they can help you save thousands. If you're trying to sell your home, if you're buying any home, if you need a loan, they got you. Homie was founded with the belief that the use of modern technology and the expertise of licensed professionals is the way of real estate in the future. Their goal is to save each every customer thousands on their real estate transaction while simplifying the process. So again, for more information, definitely hit up homie.com. That is their website. For all Locked On Raider podcast listeners, you can get $250 off your listing fee. Just text Raiders to 88588. That's $250 off your listing fee. Text Raiders to 88588 for more information.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this April 1st, 2020. Your boy Q got a lot to get to in this segment. Segment number two right here. Going to talk about the Locked On NFL draft that we're doing, the mock draft that we're doing. Want you to hear from Colin Cowherd, his thoughts on Justin Herbert from Oregon, the quarterback from Oregon, and then also Rich Eisen had Jalen Hurts, the quarterback from Oklahoma and a quarterback from Alabama, had him on the show, and I just wanted you to hear their conversation, a couple minutes of their conversation, then I'll comment on that. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and jump into the Locked On NFL Draft. I talked about that in great length on Tuesday's show. We're in the process of putting together this mock draft like we did last year. Each one of the hosts is going to make a pick for the team that they cover, and then each of us is going to contribute like a 3-minute audio clip of why we made that pick. It's going to start airing April 10th, which is a Friday. Then it's going to air every single day, Monday through Friday following. It'll be basically the whole next week. So 6 days in total. So you can hear on the Locked On NFL podcast. It won't be on this podcast, but it'll be on the Locked On NFL podcast. And I definitely encourage you to check it out. Tuesday, when I left off, the Carolina Panthers had just picked Isaiah Simmons. He was my number one guy on my big board that I wanted to pick at 12, even though I knew that there really wasn't a chance that he was going to be there at 12. Anyway, that's how you put your big board together. You put all the guys that you would like, and then just, hey, you work your way down, right? So Carolina had picked Isaiah Simmons at number 7. So next up was the Arizona Cardinals. They went with the offensive tackle, Jedrick Wills out of Alabama. That was a spot that could have had a wide receiver. That was one of the spots that I thought could be a wide receiver. At number 9, the Jacksonville Jaguars went with Derek Brown, defensive tackle out of Auburn. That's a good pickup for them. Another place I thought that maybe a wide receiver could go. At 10, the Cleveland Browns went with offensive tackle Andrew Thomas out of Georgia. I didn't think that they were going to get a wide receiver there just because they have plenty of wide receivers in Cleveland. They're still trying to figure out how to get them the ball. Then the Jets came up at number 11. I was for sure this was going to be a wide receiver here. I thought it was either going to be Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. Ended up going with Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle out of Louisville. So I came up at number 12, and I was on the board, and I had all three options open: CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, or Henry Ruggs. So as I told you on Tuesday, CeeDee Lamb was my wide receiver number 1A, and Jerry Jeudy was 1B. So I went with 1A. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver out of Oklahoma, and my comment was, went back and forth between Jeudy and Lamb. Ultimately, I went with the guy who helped three quarterbacks get to New York in their efforts to win the Heisman Trophy. Obviously, Baker Mayfield won it, Kyler Murray won it, and Jalen Hurts came in second. So I went with CeeDee Lamb for everything that he brings to the table. A stronger dude, as far as I'm concerned. Upper body strength, lower body strength. He'll go up and get that 50-50 ball. He'll fight for the end zone a little bit more. And yeah, he had Rambo, the other wide receiver in Oklahoma. He had him to compliment him, but Jerry Jeudy had a lot of weapons. There was a lot of weapons on that Alabama team. I mean, you're talking about Henry Ruggs. You're talking about Jerry Jeudy. You're talking about guys that are still there. I mean, they had like four wide receiver sets at time. So everybody was like wide receiver number one. So that's another thing. CeeDee Lamb was the sure shot number one wide receiver for Oklahoma for quite a while. So that's why I went with him at number 12. Then up next, San Francisco came in. It was funny. Brian Peacock, the host of the 49ers, Locked On 49ers podcast, well, he was exchanging emails earlier while we were waiting to get on the board and actually pick. I said, the Raiders are ready, just waiting on the Jets. And then Peacock fired back, the 49ers are ready to pick whoever the Raiders should have picked or whatever. And so he's talking a little bit of trash, right? So I was like, okay, I see you. It's all good. You know, you went to the Super Bowl last year, so I guess you got that. You can talk some trash. Anyway, he took forever to finally pick, but he did, and he went with Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver out of Alabama. He said, Jeudy is definitely Shanahan's type and an ideal complement to Debo. Okay, so that made sense. So up at 14, well, ended up being the Minnesota Vikings because they traded with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So in this mock draft, trades are allowed. So Minnesota trades up where Tampa Bay was at number 14, and they go get wide receiver number 3, Henry Ruggs, wide receiver out of Alabama. So look, there was no wide receivers taken until I took CeeDee Lamb at 12. Then all of a sudden it went wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Those are the kind of runs that I've been talking about for a long time. That's what's going to happen in the draft. You're going to see a run on quarterbacks. You're going to see a run on offensive tackles, wide receivers, running back. It's not going to necessarily be in that order, but that's what you're going to see. That's how the draft always works. You start to see runs at certain positions. So in this draft, the Locked On draft that we're doing, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, 12, 13, and 14, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, in that order, which leaves Denver Broncos at number 15, probably sitting there wondering, well, who in the hell are we going to go draft now? And they haven't picked as of yet. So I'll keep you updated how this thing goes, but so far, that's not going to be the case for Denver. They won't at least get Henry Ruggs. If you're keeping track of who's been selected so far in the Locked On draft, Cincinnati went with Joe Burrow. The Redskins went with Chase Young. The Lions went with Jeffrey Okuda. The Chargers went with Tua Tagovailoa. The Dolphins, Justin Herbert. Giants, Tristan Wirfs. Carolina, Isaiah Simmons. Arizona, Jedrick Wills. Jacksonville, Derek Brown. The Browns, Andrew Thomas. The Jets, Mekhi Becton. The Raiders, CeeDee Lamb. The 49ers, Jerry Jeudy. And the Vikings, Henry Ruggs. And that's where we stand right now. Like I mentioned, I will keep you updated as that goes. Now, on to my next piece of news. It still has to do with the draft, but it has to do with quarterbacks. Turn my attention to the Colin Cowherd show. He was talking about Justin Herbert, the quarterback out of Oregon, and the fact that he had a FaceTime meeting with John Gruden and Mike Mayock. So, of course, as soon as somebody has any kind of meeting, which every team is going to have meetings with these guys, these quarterbacks, these guys that are expected to go high, and just prospects in general, that's what you're supposed to do in this process, right? But as soon as the Raiders do it, it's like breaking news or something. You know, it's like the biggest thing ever. I mentioned it on Tuesday's show, nothing to get alarmed about. Well, here was Colin Cowherd's thoughts on Justin Herbert as a potential quarterback for the Raiders. Here he is. Check it out.
John Gruden loves strong arm quarterbacks who throw it down the field. That's Justin Herbert. Derek Carr, very proficient, very productive, but he's not really a guy that can go deep. And I think Gruden loves that. Also, as long as Gruden is the coach with Josh Jacobs, you're going to have a world-class running game. And again, if Derek Carr is there, you go in for a year. He's a West Coast kid from Oregon to Vegas. He could feel very comfortable, same time zone. I think Justin Herbert Raiders would be special.
So that was just a quick clip, like 40 seconds of Colin Cowherd talking about Justin Herbert and the potential of him being a Raiders quarterback. And look, let me start this by saying he's not 100% wrong. Okay, I'm not saying he's 100% wrong. I'm not bringing this to the table. I'm not going to smoke him. I'm not talking trash about him. I mean, he said, you know, Herbert to the Raiders could be special. He could be right. He absolutely could be right. I mean, Herbert might really end up being a special guy. What I will say that I feel like he's wrong about is talking about Derek Carr doesn't throw the ball down the field. He hasn't thrown the ball down the field since John Gruden taken over. But before that, I mean, again, we go back to 2016 because that was the season that Derek Carr really shined. He threw the ball down the field. He threw the ball down the field early, and he threw the ball down the field often. But that was a different system. In John Gruden's offense, his system, he's not asking him to hit it down the field all the time. Now, I'm sure sometimes he's asking him to take a shot, and maybe Carr doesn't do it because he doesn't want to create a turnover, or he just doesn't see it, or he doesn't trust himself, or whatever the decision is. I mean, maybe he's a little gun shy. I don't know. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Derek Carr, but I don't believe in John Gruden's offense. And again, this is his system. The head coach is going to be there for a long time. He's got a 10-year deal. He's only going into year number 3. I don't think that his calls are going for shots. I don't think he's asking him to take shots all the time. I don't think that Derek Carr doesn't have a strong arm, and that's opposite of what Colin Cowherd's saying. He's basically saying Carr doesn't have a strong arm and won't throw the ball deep. He won't throw the ball deep because John Gruden's telling him not to, or he's saying that, hey, this is what I want. I want this quick pass, get it out of your hands, get it into a wide receiver's hands, and let him go get the yards after the catch. That's what we've seen, and that's what we've seen for years from John Gruden, right? Even the first time he was the Raiders head coach. Will he attempt to take a shot? Yeah, here and there he will, and of course he needs some personnel to be able to do that, but I wouldn't put that 100% on Derek Carr. Again, Derek Carr has warts. He has his issues. We all know how I feel about him, but I don't believe that him not taking shots is 100% on him. Now, I don't think that it's really a big deal that Herbert's from Oregon. He can stay in the same time zone. I think that that's way overrated. If he wanted to say anything, you should say, hey, he's got Marcus Mariota, a former Oregon guy, and one duck to another duck. Or, you know what I mean? I'd rather him say something like that than talk about the same time zone. Again, I really don't think that the time zone matters. But, you know, he could be a possibility. I don't see the Raiders trading up. But if he somehow, for some dumb reason, fell at number 12, I don't think it'd be the dumbest thing for them to go get him. But if they were to do that, or go get any quarterback at number 12, if they felt like that was the guy, you know, even at 19, I just feel like if you get a guy early in the first round, you have to probably play him a little bit sooner rather than later, because all eyes are going to be on him. Everyone's going to expect that guy to be the next franchise quarterback. If you go get a quarterback later on in the draft, most people don't expect him to end up taking over the reins and being the franchise guy, so you have more time. But, you know, he mentioned Derek Carr could still be there for a year, maybe Justin Herbert. Again, I'm not squashing everything he said. I'm just not buying the whole he doesn't go down the field because Derek Carr can't go down the field. I think that John Gruden limits his attempts at taking the ball down the field. And, of course, Derek Carr is looking for the safe, complete pass and just get some yards after the catch, which is a staple of John Gruden's offense. So that's Colin Cowherd on Justin Herbert. And, of course, because the Raiders and Herbert had that FaceTime meeting, all of a sudden it's headline news, and now Herbert's going to be the Raiders quarterback. And, hey, who knows? April 23rd, it's 22 days away. I was about to say a couple days away. It's not a couple days. It's 22 days away. You know, maybe he's going to be. Who knows? Maybe they end up going and getting him. I know Cowherd didn't really necessarily say that, but it's something that was kind of implied. Either way, it is what it is. Now let me turn my attention real quick to Jalen Hurts, the quarterback out of Oklahoma. Obviously, he was at Alabama before he transferred to Oklahoma. Put up a heck of a season. Didn't do so well come the playoff time. Didn't do so well in the Big 12 championship game. I get that. I still think that he's got some talent. I like him a lot. There's multiple reasons I like him, but I just feel like that he's got the mentality to be a really good NFL quarterback. And I think that if you're going to be a dog, if you're going to be an alpha dog, you've got to have that alpha dog in you. It's not something Gruden could teach you. It's not something, you know what I mean? Like, nobody could teach you, no matter what you do in life, to be an alpha dog and be a leader. Either it's in you or it's not. And I just think that Jalen Hurts has got it in him. So Rich Eisen was talking to him, and the first thing he asked him was, what is the NFL team going to get if they get Jalen Hurts as their quarterback?
Well, I'm a dog, a relentless competitor, and I'm going to work my tail off every day, try to win ball games. I mean, I've done a pretty good job of that. And just most importantly, impacting the people around me to my best ability. I think that's the biggest thing, is can a guy impact guys and bring guys with him, and, you know, just bring a presence about himself to the organization and to the program. So, you know, I'm looking forward to what the future holds for me, and I just continue to work my tail off and try to take steps every day to be the best player, quarterback, and man I can be.
What are you doing in terms of talking to teams? Walk me through how that process is right now for you, Jalen.
Yeah, so kind of like my entire journey. You know, this is another unprecedented aspect. It's unprecedented to see what the world is going through right now. But in terms of me staying communicated with teams, you know, I've been doing FaceTime calls with GMs and coaches, and doing Zoom calls with coaches as well, talking ball and doing different things like that. So keeping me very busy with those things. So that's definitely a good thing. So I'm just, you know, controlling what I can like I always have and moving forward every day, seeing where this thing goes.
Which teams have you virtually visited with then? Which ones have you talked to?
I like to be discreet. I've talked to a lot of teams. Every team I've visited with throughout this process so far, I've had maybe I've had a good number of visits on Zoom and FaceTime. I'll just say that.
Okay. So what questions are you asked? I mean, what more do you need to, in your estimation, put out there that you're being asked about?
Well, you know, Rich, it's a process, you know, and it's something that I've never experienced. And you know, they pretty much just ask me questions to try and get a better feel of who I am as a person, as a leader, you know, and they ask talk ball, right? So it's very unique in my position because I've had so many different offensive coordinators, and I've been around so many great minds in the game. So these coaches simply want to, you know what I know. They know I know ball. They know I've been well-taught from each and every coach. So me spitting back the things that I know and showing them, you know, that I'm a student of the game and I'm very knowledgeable what I know and what I'm doing.
So there it was right there. That was Jalen Hurts. He was part of the Rich Eisen show on Tuesday. And that was just a couple minutes of the clip with him and Rich Eisen. And I'm telling you, I know some people that probably his mentality or his answer probably rubbed them the wrong way. Oh, he's cocky or he's not humble or whatever. I take that absolutely the opposite way. I just take that as the dude is very confident. He knows who he is. He knows what he's going to bring to the table. He's always had a chip on his shoulder. And I'm never mad at anyone who's got a chip on their shoulder, because me, I'll tell you straight up, I got a chip on my shoulder all the time. I love to have a chip on my shoulder. It just is, just I think it helps bring out the best in me. And some people, they need that. They need to have that chip on their shoulder that, yeah, you know, this guy doesn't believe you could do this. This guy doesn't believe you could do that. You can't be this guy. People think that this guy should be a wide receiver in the league. He's going to prove that. You know, he's going to prove that he could be a quarterback in the league and that he's going to be a really good franchise quarterback. Now, he's got to go do it. It's more than just talking about it. You got to go do it. But I just feel like that he's going to make that happen. And just having that mentality that he has, talking about being a student of the game, what he knows about the game, I just feel like for a quarterback, especially because that's the most important position on the field, that guy's got to have that kind of mentality and just say, I'm going to take over. I'm going to be the baddest dude out here on the field, and I'm going to lead these other men, these other 10 men, I'm going to lead them to where it needs to go, where they need to be, you know, and that's the promised land. And I just, again, maybe I'm, you know, falling for a banana in the tailpipe. Only time will tell. Maybe he ends up being a terrible quarterback, and everyone looks back and says, ha, Q, your boy stinks. And I'll own it. I'll say, you know what? Yeah, he stinks. My bad. I fell for a banana in the tailpipe. I just don't think that that's going to be the case. Again, only time will tell. I believe the right coaching staff, the right coaches get with him and you know, just give him the right playbook and everything and use him in a correct way. I think he could really end up being that guy. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not trying to brag, but I was talking about Jalen back in the regular season. You know, in 2019, during the regular season, while the Raiders were still playing, I was talking about that should be a guy that they go get. And I'll tell you, as this whole draft season has gone along, there's more and more and more and more people all of a sudden on the Jalen Hurts train. I see it every single day on Twitter. I see it on NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks. Bucky Brooks put out a tweet, and I'm not a Bucky Brooks guy, you know that, but let me just go ahead and find this Bucky Brooks tweet real quick before I wrap up the segment, because I found it to be hilarious when I saw it. And again, I'm not even really a Bucky Brooks guy, but he said the top five hidden gems in the 2020 NFL draft. Top five hidden gems. Number one, Jalen Hurts, quarterback, Oklahoma. Number two, James Lynch, defensive lineman, Baylor. Number three, Van Jefferson, wide receiver, Florida. Number four, Darnay Holmes, cornerback, UCLA. And number five, Zach Moss. And I quote tweeted him and said, well, three out of the five guys on this list we've been talking about on the Locked On Raiders podcast. We talk a lot about Jalen, talked about James Lynch. I said that was a guy that's going to probably fly underneath the radar, but he's going to be a hell of a player. Again, I like him a lot. And then Zach Moss, the running back. Haven't really talked a whole lot. I know Van Jefferson's name came up on Tuesday's show. Haven't talked a whole lot about him, but I do think he could play. Darnay Holmes, he's a good player as well out of UCLA. But Hurts, Lynch, and Moss, we talked about all those guys here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So that goes, that's a credit to all the listeners, all the people who chime in on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, either by way of call or text, because some of those were your suggestions, some of those were my suggestions. But either way, we've been talking about all those guys for the most part here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. And speaking of that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, that's coming up next. Your calls, your texts, and some tweets all next in segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, if you've been a listener of this podcast, then I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But You may not know that Locked On Raiders is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Raider fans just like you. And unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Raider fans and smart, intelligent, passionate Raider fans that are well-educated, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, so text the word advertising to 33777 or go to lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let them know who you are. They'll get their team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. So once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. And of course, definitely look forward to hearing from you. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying the show so far. And we're going to keep this party rolling with some calls, some texts, and some tweets. Straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And if you send a tweet, send it to @YourBoyQ254. Give me a follow and shoot me a message, and we'll get it on the podcast as well. Got a lot to get to, and this show is already running kind of long, so I'm going to get through as much as possible here in segment number three. And whatever I don't do here, I'm going to go ahead and try to continue on Thursday's show. So let's go ahead and start from a tweet from yesterday, from Tuesday's show that I was talking about. James White, @JamesW on Twitter. He said, #NewBootyQuestion. So I guess I got to give him a proper introduction, right? New booty question. There's always a ton of positivity in the offseason because we assume that everyone's going to continue to grow. Whom from the rookies and who from last year's free agency class could you see falling in production? That's a really good question. Somebody that I could see dropping from their production that was a rookie in season two. Let me think. That's a good question. Well, Max Crosby had a lot of production, obviously, with the 10 sacks. So he was an absolute stud. Everyone's going to expect 10 sacks from him every season. And, you know, it might not happen. He might only get 8 sacks this upcoming season, or he might get 9, you know, or he might do better. He might do 15. So I'll say maybe Max Crosby has an opportunity to have a little bit of a drop off in year number two. Also, let me think. Who else could have a little bit of a drop off that was a rookie? Oh, man. Josh Jacobs went over 1,100 yards, had quite a bit of touchdowns. I mean, I guess maybe he can end up with 1,000 yards depending on who they get to complement him this year, or who they bring in as a running back to complement him. Maybe he tails off a little bit, but I still think he gets 1,000 yards. I really expect to see those rookies grow. Like Cleve Farrell, he needs to continue to grow. Jonathan Abram, obviously he's going to have to grow. He only played one game. Trayvon Mullen, I'd like to see him get a couple interceptions in 2020. Hunter Renfrow, I think he needs to just continue to build off what he did towards the end of the season, where he was really out there dominating. And that's really it. I mean, you know, so I'm just going to kind of roll with that, is that the only way that I really see a little drop off in production from a rookie is from maybe Max Crosby and Josh Jacobs. And that's just because they're not quite, you know, the stats aren't quite as high as they were the year before, but they still have a really, really good season. Free agents, I really don't want to see any free agents drop in production. I could see LaMarcus Joyner, but he struggled in 2019. I could see him struggling again in 2020, but on to part two of the question. If you're going draft, here's my new booty draft question. Why wouldn't the Raiders take a D tackle in the first round? Brown, Kinlaw, or Blacklock? Creating pressure up the middle is every quarterback's nightmare. It would be interesting to have a three-headed monster at defensive tackle of Hurst, Collins, and a rookie who can collapse the pocket. I keep thinking about how do we beat Mahomes in my draft approach. That's a good point. I think that they really like what they have, and I think that Malik Collins is going to be a game changer. I think P.J. Hall is probably not going to be there in 2020. I can see where they end up cutting him. Mo Hurst will be there. They have Jonathan Hankins as well. They might bring back Deion Jordan. They might be set at that defensive tackle position. Now, again, they might decide that if Brown is there, that's a good option to go get because he's a hell of a player. And then you just figure out what they're going to do with the rotation. Kinlaw, I think he's a little bit raw. Maybe they'll take him at 19 if he's still there. But again, he's got a lot of talent, so maybe you just go ahead and grab a guy like that and worry about how to play him as well. And again, your approach to the draft is a good one because you do need to figure out how to beat Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's what it is. You want to win the division, and the way to do that is you got to go through KC. You've got to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And the last tweet from my guy James White at James W on Twitter is, I know you like Kenneth Murray, and I do too, but if we're playing nickel 60% of the time now, does linebacker make sense in the first round anymore, especially after our two big free agent signings? And that's a great point. I mean, a really, really a great point. But my reasoning on why I think Kenneth Murray is in play is more of the guy he is, the leader he could be, the alpha dog mentality that he has. I think John Gruden and Mike Mayock really, really like that. Yes, Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton are really, really good pickups. Really good pickups. And you're right about nickel 60% of the time. But I think that Kenneth Murray is a guy that they might go ahead and grab at some point. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but they could go grab him and just say, you know what, similar to the defensive tackles that you were talking about earlier, we'll figure it out. Because he's just that stinking good, and he's a guy that's going to be a leader that we could build this defense around. I could see them making a case of that, and I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a wrong approach either, because he's a talented dude, he's a leader, he's been a captain ever since he was like a sophomore in school. I mean, he's a guy. He's an absolute guy. So I could see your point, and I could see why they can go get him at the same time. So hopefully that all makes sense. I appreciate your tweets and being a new booty. Next up, I got a call from Raider Con Man from Lubbock, Texas, calling to talk about a name he hasn't heard about in a while as far as the Raiders drafted him. And it's funny when you hear what name he's talking about. Here he is, Raider Con Man from Lubbock, Texas.
What up, Q? Raider Con Man here out of Lubbock, Texas. Just wanted to talk about one thing real quick. I haven't heard this guy's name on the upcoming draft of the Raiders in regards to us getting him, but... I heard a lot at the start, but it seems like it's quieted down a little bit. I know that you were pretty high on him, I think, at the start, and then you kind of cooled off a little bit from him, but this is for Kenneth Murray out of OU. And I was just looking into him a little bit more, and, I mean, he was a captain as a sophomore. Just seems like the guy that fits the Mayock-Gruden mold is what they're trying to build. I mean, captain is a sophomore. Supposedly, he just killed it at the combine, and like with his interviews and all that, he basically came in and just told the teams, "This is why I'm going to be the cornerstone of each whoever he's meeting with. This is why I'm going to be the cornerstone. This is why I'm going to lead. This is how I'm going to lead, and this is the steps that I'm going to take." Like he was just being kind of like a dog, like the alpha dog that you did say that he was. So I think it did change because we got Littleton and Kwiatkowski, but just seeing if he maybe is an option, not sure, but just was looking into him a little bit more, and I'm starting to kind of like him a little bit, but I don't know if we'll pull the trigger on him because we got the free agency acquisitions we did get. But, yeah, just wanted to talk about that. So, Raider Con Man out. Peace.
Well, Raider Con Man, thank you so much for that call. Funny that you happened to call after I just talked about Kenneth Murray. And I also actually talked about Kenneth Murray on Tuesday. And the reason why you're not hearing his name so much is because of everything that James White, who tweeted at me, who was talking about. You know, the Raiders are in nickel 60% of the time now. A lot of the league is. But the Raiders are in 60% of the time now. They picked up Corey Littleton. They picked up Nick Kwiatkowski. You mentioned it as well. So the need's not there as much as it was before free agency. But just like I mentioned on Tuesday, just like I mentioned to James White, I just feel like the guy he is can make the Raiders want him. And I said on Tuesday, I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't be shocked, especially after what we saw from Clelin Ferrell in 2019. I would not be shocked if they went and got him at number 12. Not saying I've heard that. Not saying that that's who I'm picking. I picked CeeDee Lamb at number 12 in the Locked On podcast, you know, the mock draft that we're doing. I picked CeeDee Lamb, so I didn't pick Kenneth Murray at 12, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Raiders were to, just because of the alpha dog mentality and that the fact that they really, really like him. So thank you so much for that call. I appreciate you, and we'll just have to see how it shakes out and what happens with Kenneth Murray. They might not look at him at all. He might end up going to some team like Baltimore or some other team. I just kind of feel like he's a guy that they look at and say, you know what, he needs to be a Raider. So good stuff right there, man. Definitely appreciate you, like always. Next up is a text at 707-654-4693. Yo, Q, Tony here from Southern Cali. New booty. No nickname yet. I've been playing with the Draft Network's draft machine as everyone else. I've done maybe five or six different ones, and they all seem too good to be true, with a lot of offensive tackles and wide receivers gone in the first two rounds, leaving good defensive pick and our quarterback in the third round. Well, finally on my last try, things went completely different. The top six or seven quarterbacks were gone fast, and I liked the mock because I wasn't able to pick all the ideal players, which ultimately it's how a real draft goes, right? I don't see the Raiders doing any trades just because I don't see any value in any of the options. So here is my mock draft. Let me know your thoughts. So, Tony from Southern Cal. At 12, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver. 19, Christian Fulton, defensive back. 80, Devon Hamilton, defensive tackle. 81, Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver. 91, James Morgan, quarterback. 122, Siwo Alunilua. And 159, Khalid Kareem, edge. Okay, Q, hope you get to this. I want to explain my picks, but the text was already too long for the most part, addressing the team's needs. Stay safe, Raider Nation. So, Jeudy, Fulton, Hamilton, Peoples-Jones, James Morgan, I feel like, is kind of a project, but then again, at number 91 in the third round, that would be a project. Alunilua could be a really good running back. I mean, again, the value is there where you're getting him, so maybe he could be a nice compliment to Josh Jacobs. And then Kareem, the edge, he's a guy that I hear a lot of people talking about. I really do. You know, some of these lower-level guys are some guys that really need paying attention to, because that's how you really butter your bread, is going and hitting not only in the guys in the first round, but also the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round. When you can get some guys in the back end of the draft, that's when you're really cooking with grease. So yeah, for the most part, I think that your draft was pretty good. I appreciate you, and keep on hitting that draft network, and keep on hitting that draft simulator, and see what you come up with, man. It's a lot of fun, and you know, we're 22 days away from the draft now, so it'll be here sooner rather than later. So I definitely appreciate you reaching out to me. Next up, I got a tweet from Joe at pincushion1_15k. Hey Q, love the podcast, listen to it every day, first time sending you a message, so here's my mock, which, Joe, that means that you're a new booty. Number 12, Lamb or Jeudy, we need a true number one wide receiver. Number 19, Jalen Hurts, quarterback has been suspect since Gruden has arrived, but now they can get their guy without giving up picks. I could be wrong, but I can see it. This is high for him, but I don't see him getting past the second round. If the Raiders could find a way into the second round to get him, I'd feel better about it. I would love to see Murray or McKinney or Epinesa at 19. Gotta cut down the points allowed. Love the show, my man. Again, that's from Joe at pincushion1_15k. At 12, Lamb or Jeudy, number one wide receiver, absolutely. I'm not going to be mad if they get either one of those guys. I think they're both, like I said, 1A, you know, or 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call it, really good players. We're just splitting hairs on what wide receiver. I think if the Raiders come away with either one of those guys on April 23rd, all of Raider Nation should be happy. Number 19, Jalen Hurts. I know a lot of people in Raider Nation won't be happy, and including me, who likes Jalen Hurts a lot and would love to see him in the silver and black. I think that'd be high for him. I would love to see him maybe trade back from 19 to around 28 or 29, similar to what Baltimore was able to do with Lamar Jackson, get him at the tail end of round number one, so you get that fifth year option, but it's still almost round two. Would love that, and maybe pick up another second round pick. That'd be great. That would be ideal if you're going to go get the quarterback at number 19. Just if you could trade back, you can find a trade partner. That's the hardest thing. You could want to trade back all you want, but if there's not a trade partner, then, well, you're just kind of out of luck. You know, and I left a word out of there on purpose because I didn't want to bleep it. So that's just how it is. But again, I mean, for the most part, you're onto a good idea right there in the first round. So Lamb, Jeudy, either one at 12. If you go and get a quarterback at 19, even if they go with Jordan Love, even if the rumors that they like Jordan Love are true, if they like him there, I wouldn't mind them getting him. But again, similar to what I said about Jalen Hurts, trading back to the end of the first round, I'd feel a lot more comfortable. So thank you so much for that. I don't have time for... Actually, I got one more that I'm going to send, only because this is really, really cool, and I think I want to end the show with this anyway. It's a text message from Marcus, a.k.a. DarkSide55. Mad props to my dude Q. Your podcast has become a huge part to my daily routine, especially during this time. My wife and I are both registered nurses, and working the front lines right now have been stressful. It's just my wife and I. We've avoided seeing family and friends, as we never know what we're bringing home from work. Being able to listen to your pod talking about the Raiders has been my mental getaway. Appreciate you, man. Stay safe. to the One Nation. And I wanted to end with that because I wanted to give Marcus and his wife mad props. Because you're out there on the front line, like you mentioned. You guys are doing a lot of work. You're talking about me, talking about the Raiders, and I get it. I talked about it all the time. Sports is a mental getaway. It's a mental getaway for me as well. 2020 has been very rough on me. It's been a tough year on me and the family, but you know, we're kind of power through it, and this is kind of my getaway as well. You know, just kind of being able to sit down and talk some Raiders for however long I get to talk each and every day. But you know, for you to say that the podcast is getting you through your days, and you and your wife are really out there doing the most, doing all the work that you're doing, trying to help society, trying to help your community deal with this COVID-19, this coronavirus pandemic. That's awesome, man. That really is awesome, and that makes any effort that I put out there well worth it. And maybe those days where I say, oh man, I'm a little tired, I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, knock out a really good podcast, makes me remember that, you know what, there's dudes and there's women out there doing a lot harder work, a lot more stressful work, and that is a lot more meaningful. And so if the least I could do is jump to the mic and talk some Raiders for a little while, 45 minutes to an hour, and it helps you kind of get that mental getaway, then that's all I really need to keep this thing going. So I just wanted to end with that. I thought that was great. Salute to you and your wife. Keep doing what you do. And hopefully this will pass like, you know, other bad situations that each and every one of us has had to deal with in our life. So, again, Marcus, salute to you, a.k.a. Darkside55. I really appreciate you. So on that note, we're going to wrap up the show today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun as far as I'm concerned. I'll keep you updated on the Locked On NFL mock draft show, how that goes. And yeah, we'll keep the party rolling each and every day, just like we get down. And so now that you've finished listening to the Locked On Raiders podcast, you could tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Draft Dudes. Yeah, you want to talk more NFL draft? Got 22 more days to talk it, right? If you want to talk more NFL draft and hear more NFL draft, Locked On Draft Dudes, the latest episode, have your smart device play it, and that's going to do it for us. So until Thursday's episode, Raider Nation, we're powering through the week, and we'll talk again. Until then, as always, just win, baby.